I'd like to talk on the subject of what I consider probably the most dangerous attitude that we can have as Christians. I'd like to talk a little bit about not now. Definition of now is the present moment. When we say not now, we're playing with the element of time. Time is probably the most precious moment gift we have as people. God's given all of us some measure of it. But very rarely does God really allow us just to know how much time we have. I can think of a few instances where God revealed certain elements of that to people, let them know that their time was about up. Paul seemed to know it. Peter made a comment one time about it, I think. It was said to him about being young and when he's old, those kind of statements. But time's a precious moment, a precious gift for us. And it's not to be taken lightly. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it in time. We're here now, the time element. I say quite often, my little girls especially will say sometimes, "Daddy, read us a book." And I will say, "Not now." Because I think that it's valuable that I read them a book. I wouldn't want to ever say that I will never read a book again to you, because I plan to, because I think there's some value to it. But at the moment, I'm putting something else above. I'm putting something else more valuable than to do that. So my expression is don't be discouraged. I will, and sometimes I'll even say, how about after we eat or a later time, but not now. And that works well in natural life. But it's not a good idea spiritually. You'll find nothing more valuable to take care of than your soul. The idea of saying not now, the putting off of the needs that we have in our souls, is a bad idea. It's really not a good idea. The Lord deals with us. We think sometimes that within our own capability, I can do what I need to do when I need to do it. I'll argue with you that you won't even feel like doing what you ought to do if the Lord doesn't deal with you about what you need to do. We need the Lord to help us to know what we need to do. When we come to that point, that's why we've counseled for years from the pulpit that when the Word of God comes forth and touches your heart, now is the time to deal with it. Now's the time to start allowing God to have His way in your life, because it's not impossible to go away from that point of conviction and not feel it again. It's not impossible to leave that place to where you say, I know I have a need, I know God wants to work with me, I know He wants to change me. I marvel sometimes at people, even people that had religious experiences in their life, I marvel at them getting old, up in years, ready to leave this world. In their 80s, or pushing 90 sometimes. And I marvel at how insensitive they are about eternity. I would look and say, all the vices are gone. They can't do what they used to do. It seems like almost they can do none of what. It looks like it would be so easy to turn to their Savior. It looks like it would be so easy to turn to God and be saved. And I'm there saying, it's obvious. You're laying here, or the doctors even tell you sometimes it won't be long. They don't know everything, but that's a good education. And they're about to go, and I'm sitting there thinking, why don't they turn to the Lord? You got an answer for that? They don't feel like turning to the Lord. If the Lord don't deal with us, folks, we won't have it either. We need to be careful about the time that the Lord has given us. Over in 2 Corinthians, I want to start with 6th chapter. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is not putting this off to some other point and some other time. Now is the proper time to deal with your soul. That's dangerous to say, not now. Through the scriptures, there was a number of stories told, and we'll get to some of them, that people was looking at the situations, and they was playing with the gift of time that was given to them. You don't know how long you have. I know it's an old preacher cliche. You don't know how long you have. But the truth of it is, you don't know how long you have. You don't know what circumstance may change. You don't know how hard your heart can get. You don't know if you'll ever feel the Spirit move in your heart and life. You don't know how you can go to, or I'll be saved someday, some people will say. I'll change my life sometime. I want to, but not now. I've had the younger people say, I intend to be saved, but not now. I want to be saved before I leave this world. God hears that. God wants you to be saved. He's a merciful God. But you don't know you'll ever feel like that again. It's only by the mercies of God that you feel that way to start with. It's only by the mercies of God that we understand that there's a Savior that came to save us. Not now. I got to wait for a while. I got some things I got to do that's very, very dangerous. Today, now's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Whenever God starts dealing with your heart and He comes in mercy and says, and He lays His hand on that and says, it's a good day. It's the time. It's God's time for you. The now moment. The moment with present moment. For what will you feel tomorrow? The scripture said in one place, we danced, we piped to you, but you didn't dance. And you've heard me use this before, but how vivid it is in my mind. Music makes you move, don't it? Don't you? I mean, tapping the foot. I mean, I can't even keep time and I tap my foot. It's out of time. A lot of times it's happening. It's moving. It's moving. I think sometimes my wife wants to get me in sync with it. So we get, kind of get it together. But you move the music, and the scripture says, we piped, but you didn't dance. So let me ask you the question. If you don't dance when you're piped to, what's going to make you dance? Nothing can make you dance if you can't dance in the ultimate moment that's sent to you to dance when the piping's going. Said, we've wept, we've lamented, but you haven't cried. Wait a minute. We all recognize that when's the easiest time to be touched? When other people's crying? When other people, you see that choked up and you see that emotion comes out, isn't it easy to share in that? Well, when everybody's crying and you feel sober and you don't cry, then when will you weep? You won't. The Lord wants to pipe. He wants us to move to the rhythm of His piping. He wants us to move because now's the time. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to have to do it now. Another scripture I want to look at is in the Matthew 22nd chapter. I'm going to read a little bit just to get this thought. 22:1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the highways, and to as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment, on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now this passage of scripture, there's a lot to be involved in it, the way the Lord came to the Jews first, and was treated badly, but the idea of this is not just about a wedding, it's about salvation. It's about real salvation. It's about the workings of God. The analogy is that the king has a wedding, and when everybody comes to the wedding, there's a garment that they're supposed to get. It's provided for them. They don't have to make one or create one themselves. There's a wedding garment that is made for them to put on. And that was the function of it. And so when he gets there, there's a man that comes in. And he's in the wedding, but he didn't bother to inquire, to seek, to search, to get the wedding garment that was provided. All you gotta do is ask. It's made for it. It's what it's supposed to be. It's an analogy of people that call themselves Christians that don't have it. Now, I'm just the messenger, but this is what this means. It means the visible, somebody in the visible church. It applies to everyone in this room. That's who it applies to. All of us, that's a warning that there is that we confess Christ, right? We say that Jesus is our Savior, and we confess to this reality of God's church, of God's salvation, of all those things. We confess that in our lives, but in this idea, he was visibly a part of the wedding. But the king looks and says, why have you disrespected? Why have you so dishonored me in coming into here without having it, what you're supposed to have? Not now. Not now. Not now's the idea. Maybe the man wanted, you know what it says when he said that? That he was speechless. This is what the case is going to be, the argument's going to be to everyone that has to stand before God without the wedding garment on. The wedding garment is Christ's salvation. The true salvation. It isn't just somebody looking on and saying, well, look, he dresses real good. He must be a Christian. He walks around with a wife with a long skirt on and children. They must be Christians. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. Because that's just the outward show of what's going on. But that doesn't mean that it has to be going on. It don't have to be going on. I can be rigid in anything. I can be straight in anything. I can have certain things that give me a fortitude to be able to do them. If I care enough about what you all think about me, I can do something without ever having it in my heart. But that ain't the wedding garment. That ain't the wedding garment. That's me caring about people or having an image about things or whatever. Or maybe I want to prove that I'll show up every Sunday morning here on time. So you all think this a certain way. I hate going down there, I may say, inside. But I want to keep up an image that I'm a godly man. I profess those things. Now is the time. This is the reality of it. Don't play with time. You don't know how much you got. And you don't know what's going to happen within that time. So it's really, really dangerous to say to the Spirit of God, not now. I don't want to take care of that now. I ain't saying that you have to go to the altar publicly. I'm not that kind. God is the one you need to go to. But you need to take care of it. Whatever it is, to make sure that I'm not saying to God, not now, as He's talking, as He's working, trying to do something, that I'm not saying, like I say to my children, let me eat lunch first. Let me get a little older first. Let me have a little bit more understanding first. It's dangerous to walk away. There was a man in the Bible that come and said, he was a young man, the Scripture said. And he come to the Lord and he said, good Master, what must I do to be saved, to inherit eternal life? The Lord taught him, said, well, why callest thou me good? There's none good. Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't good. He was pointing to that man that he just called him God. There's only one good, and that's God. And you just called me God. And that being said, keep the commandments. Well, I've done it since my youth. What do I lack? And Jesus loved him and looked at him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have. You want the answer? Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, take up your cross, and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Not now. Who can know in the mercies of God what happened? But the Bible says nothing more. Then the last thing said of this young man was that he walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. I think he wanted to be saved. But not now. I'm not to that place yet. There was another man in the Bible. He said that he was a rich man. And his fields brought forth plentifully. And he's sitting one night, as I see it in my vision, he's sitting one night contemplating the great gain that his fields had brought forth. And his fields are standing. They haven't been garnered yet. They haven't been gathered. They're out in the fields yet. And he says within his heart, he says, what must I do? What am I going to do with all this great possession? I know what I'll do, he said. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. Oh, there's nothing wrong with pulling down barns and building greater. If you needed room, it'd be wise even to do it. But he said something that was utterly foolish. A notion in his heart. He said, I'll say to my soul. Not now. I'll say to my soul, you have much laid up for many years. Angel, you can take your ease. You can do whatever. And the Lord said, come and said, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you. You just said not now for the last time. Not now to your soul. There was nothing wrong with anything that he had planned to do except for the idea. It wasn't the plan that got him, folks. It was his inactivity to his soul. It always is. It ain't your barns that'll cause you to be lost, or your car, or anything else. It's your inattention to your own soul. That's what the Lord wants to say. You can't say not now to the Lord. You can't put it off to some other time and say, I'll build some, and I'll say to my soul. No. When it comes to your soul, first priority. Your soul ought to be taken care of before anything else is. It's the number one thing. My soul is continually in my hands. It's the thing that I've got to take care of. Most important thing. I can't say, not now. Well, it's been done over and over, I suppose. The king says, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Well, wait a minute. He responded. He didn't have to go. They was not handcuffing. This is not a draft situation. This is a volunteer army. You don't have to go. But if you go, you've got to have a garment on. It's worse to go without a garment than to not go at all. Well, it ends up the same both ways, I guess, but you can't go in with that. You can't have the garment on. You got to get the real thing. It's not a pretend thing. At the end of this was this, he got so close. What a heartbreak, so close. Is it possible? I've been saved over 30 years. Is it possible to be lost? Is it possible to not make it? Well, sure it is. It's possible. And if it's possible, then the responsibility of it to get it right. I don't want to play the game. It's worthless. It's a worthless game just played. I want to know what the realities of it is. Lord, help us that we don't just say, not now. I can't take care of it. I'll do it. I intend to do it. I intend to make my life right. I intend to be the faithful person that I always wanted to be. I intend to be the worker for God. I intend to be that witness for God. I intend all of it. But not now. That's very dangerous. Oh, I have another scripture. You're all familiar with this one for sure. 25th of Matthew. Again, the idea is about the church. 25 of Matthew says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. These were pure. They had something. There was something going on in their lives. It's said so favorably. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I just wonder in my mind, and you all play along with my vision here. I wonder if you could have, with the human eye, I wonder if you could have lined all 10 up and picked out the foolish or the wise. What do you think? Could you pick them out? I don't think so. I don't think you could have picked them out. The description seems to be universal with them. They was all pretty much 10 of them look pretty much all the same. The wisdom or the foolishness lies within their hearts. It lies within the character of their being. It lies within their own real passion and desire for really serving God or not serving God. We can be influenced by many things. I'm influenced by it, and so aren't you. We're influenced by one another, by what we think. We're influenced by many things that may hold us to things that we've lived and done. And you do it long enough, and it's the way you live life. It's just the way you do it. Well, five wise and five foolish. And the wise took time. Whatever time they took, the other ones didn't. But they intended to, didn't they? Don't you think the foolish ones wanted? If you would ask them, what would they have said? You think they may have wept? You think they may have... I needed to put on a good... I want it! It's more than just saying you want it. It's doing it. It's getting to it. You can't say, not now. It's important when the Lord serves. It's important when the Lord works to move upon that. I just know in my life, I'll testify to the goodness of God. In my life, when the oil runs low, He lets me know. Now, I ain't telling you the oil ain't run low, brother. Of course it runs low. But the Lord has always been faithful for me checking the gauge and say, the light starts flashing. The oil light starts flashing. They make machines now. I got a couple of them up the house that says right on them. That if you don't start, your oil might be low. They make them now with a sensor deal on them that if your oil gets too low, then it'll damage the engine. It won't start, so it can't damage. Well, that's great. But that ain't the way it's going to work in this. You can run plumb out of oil. You can run plumb out. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord won't stop you from running when you ain't got oil. But in my life, He lets me know. It's His mercy and His goodness, and a number of times He's let the events of life come crashing down and show me that you're just about to burn up because you don't have no oil. You're about to melt down. You need some oil, the Lord. And you know what? I think He will of them too. I think He will you too. And I think He did them too. And they said, I'll get it later. There's the time element. I don't have to get it right now. I'll get it tomorrow. Now, me and my wife, we've done this. We've done this most of our married life. We're always on some kind of a eating plan, diet plan. Our lifestyles lend itself to a lot of junk eating or food eating. And I ain't against any of it. It's substance. I pray for it and intend the Lord to bless it. But we do moderate ourselves, and we're always on these diets. And it's always, and it's about when we're out and people's inviting us. And what are you going to do hardly? Now, I know what y'all going to think, but what do you hardly do when somebody invites you to this really good meal? We went to Gary and Ariana's, and she made a good meal. She had this chicken and this stuff, and we eat, and I wasn't really planning to. But when everybody got through with the meal, she pulls out this really nice coconut cream pie. And she's not really asking or anything. She's just being a great hostess, and she starts to serve them onto these little plates. And one of them comes down to me, and I did my duty. I just ate it like I was supposed to do. Well, because of that, man, my wife's always saying, we'll do better tomorrow. Or wait, we'll be another week out on the road, but we'll start our diet when we get home. We'll start it when we get home. And we get home, and generally I know what it is. We're home. It's time to start. But we're going to be home a while. It's hard to start the day you get there. I know that. It's hard to start that day because a lot of times you've already messed half the day up. Why start? We'll start tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow. I'm going to get it right tomorrow. I'm going to get my soul right tomorrow. I can't do it on the road. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it somewhere. That's a bad idea. These people went one day after another, I suppose, one moment after another. You suppose it's possible that they didn't know they didn't have any oil? They had to have known they didn't have no vessel with oil in it. The other ones sound like they had that extra oil. But they knew they didn't. Didn't they know they didn't have it? Don't the Lord help us to know? Honestly, if you assess your own life today, you know what you have, don't you? Don't you know what you have? Sure you do. You know what you have. The Lord isn't that unfaithful. He is that faithful. Well, I've got tomorrow. Oh, what a dangerous idea. Not only because one of these log trucks might clip you out here as you leave the parking lot, but because you might not feel like you need it after today. You might feel like that I'm cruising right along. You might start embracing some of the devil's lies. Well, you're as good as anybody else. And a lot of times, and you know it as well as I do, one of the first things the devil starts doing is bringing criticisms to everybody else. So if that helps me feel like I'm okay too, I ain't no different than they are. Well, Lord help us. And all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. It just don't work, folks. There is a place to get it. It's in the solitude of you and God. There's a place. And so this is so accurate to this. Moms can encourage, dads can encourage, pastors and ministers can encourage, but nobody can give you all. We don't have it. We may have it for ourselves, but there's no way to do it. It's God's. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of the Lord in your life. There's nothing we can do. You can't do it for your brother or for your sister. This is where down on your knees, in your passion, in your heart, you seek God for the grace and answer for your problems. That's where you get it at. That's where you get the confirmation from the Lord that your vessel's full. It's okay. Well, this is an awful event. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And it will always be the answer, go buy for yourself. But I want to reiterate, the only reason you go buy for yourself is to have the desire to have it. And if that ain't placed in your heart, you won't want it. I've wondered many times and prayed before, Lord, why doesn't people feel what I feel? Why don't they want to be saved? Right before they leave this world and they don't seek God for salvation and go out into the eternity lost. Why? Lord's answer was because they don't feel like you feel. They don't have the desire for it. Jesus said himself, if my Father don't draw you, you cannot come. It's God that draws it. It's the time that the Lord deals with us that we can change anything. I would tell you, change yourself. But you know what you've got to do to change yourself when you notice it? And why do you notice it? God. That's why you noticed you needed to change, because God allowed you to see that you needed to change. And when that time comes that you say, I feel that, that's the time. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. I'm going to end there with the shut door, because when God shuts the door, it's shut. Do you know that there's an illustration with Noah in the ark, that Noah didn't shut the door? Do you know that Noah didn't shut the door? God shut the door of the ark. That means something. If Noah could shut it, he could open it again. When God shuts the door's shut. That ought to bring a shiver to us to have fear of God in our lives. Lord, you'd never shut the door. Lord, give me all the opportunity that I could possibly have. Deal with me, work with me. Lord, when I'm stubborn and fleshly and don't do promptly what you want to do, don't shut the door. Have mercy. Have mercy again. He said on this one, the door was shut, and you know they come back. Door is shut. The door is shut. Where were you at? The door is shut. Oh, it's a serious thought. I feel like this is one of the most dangerous attitudes in all of Christendom. Because it's the putting off of the most valuable thing in place of the things that's less valuable. Because there's nothing more valuable than getting your soul right. And yet, we're probably all guilty of it to some degree or another, at placing something there before I took care of this matter. There is a reason why we meet together on the first day of the week. It is giving God the first that we ought to always give God the first fruits of our life. The first goes to God. The best goes to God. We ought to start our day, our week, our year. We should start everything with God. And that's the premise of the whole Scriptures. Put me first, he said, then all will prosper. Put me there first. Take care of your soul. Be warned today. It's a snare, probably more so in the age we're in than any other. This is a big snare to our souls. That I can put this off. And I don't have to take care of it. I'll get so busy, I'll do anything. But I don't, and I'll take care of this later. Listen, if you don't talk to the Lord, and take this for my true heart meaning for it. If you don't deal with the Lord all day long, and all you've got to quick, I lay me down to sleep at night, ain't gonna work. It just ain't gonna work. I would recommend that you start off the fresh morning and give it to God. Well, I ain't saying what or how much, and I ain't no Holy Ghost for sure. I'm just saying, your best bet, don't put God off. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.